You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. This is Resonate Church in Newaygo, Michigan.
Well, happy Easter, everybody.
Yes, happy Easter.
You know, the sun's coming up behind me and it's just absolutely beautiful. And we got a fire going, it's warm, mm-hmm. You know. And it reminds me of a few things. One, the sun's coming up every day. It's gonna come up tomorrow. It's gonna come up the next day. It's gonna come up the next day. It's always faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And our God's always faithful.
He is.
You know, the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
You can count on that.
Mm-hmm.
Never will his mercies not be new towards you. Every morning starts and the Lord's thinking great thoughts about you.
Right.
You know, another thing that's faithful are the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
All the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen.
That's right.
I love that about God because he's faithful. He's faithful to his word. He said his word would not come back to him void, but it will accomplish the thing which he sent it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're going to learn some things about the word of God, about who we are, about what we are to do, and how much fun we are supposed to have doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to today's message. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Well, the resurrection story. Let me just read to you a little bit from Matthew 28. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. He has said, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. You know, I love this because Jesus here is no longer in the tomb. He's risen from the dead. The good news, of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. He said, go tell the disciples this. Now the question needs to be answered. Why did Jesus raise from the dead? And many times people just say, you know, for forgiveness of sins. But I think it's so much more than that. It was that he wanted relationship with you and me. Listen to this in Romans 1, 16 and 17. I love this portion of scripture. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." Now let's couple that with John 1, 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." And the right there means power exerted. We have power to become children of God. I love that about him. I love that he didn't want us just to, he didn't just save us as human beings and just, okay, you're saved and here, you're out on your own and you're just do whatever. Or, you know, hey, I will bless you and I'll just be with you, but you just do whatever you want. No, he wants to be family, and family is so much more than just somebody who just forgave you of your sins. No, he wants relationship. He wants to do things together. He wants to communicate together. Listen to this in Ephesians 1:4. It says, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. In love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Listen to that. It was the good pleasure of his will to adopt you and I, to bring us into this family. You know, there's one thing about adoption, it's this. You choose those children. God chose us. And through his resurrection, that's where we get the power of the gospel, the power of our salvation, is that we have the power, the right, to be able to enter into the family of God. Can you imagine this? And sometimes I think that we need to use our imagination a little bit more in this area, that my father is God, my daddy is God. So much so that whatever I need, he will supply. Doesn't he say that in Philippians chapter 4? He'll meet all your need according to his riches and glory. He told us to go do the same things that he does, just like a child mimics their father, and they go out and they act and they speak and they do like their father. You know, I think it might be good for us if we just for a moment would close our eyes and just imagine God as our father. You know, I want you to just look at this house. Take a look at this house for a minute and think about what it took to build this. Isn't the outside of this house just really great? Look at the inside. You know, just because it was in the mind of the architect doesn't mean it was going to happen. It took all kinds of skilled trades to be able to make this a reality. And in that same way, the kingdom works. You know, there were blueprints to make this building. The trades had to look at that to then build this house, which is now a ministry house. Does the kingdom of God work that way? Does God give us a blueprint of what he wants on this earth? You know, obviously in his prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have to know what the will of heaven is to be able to then build that on this earth. And that's your and I's job. We have a responsibility. And just like Nehemiah building the wall, you know, what we learned last week, and each family did their part. You know, you and I as families and as individuals, we have a kingdom purpose. Every family has a kingdom purpose, and that is this. The purpose of your family is to live for the kingdom and to build the kingdom. And we need to use all of our gifts and our talents to make that a reality. Because it's not going to happen just because in the mind of God, this is what he wants to happen. Just like this house didn't get built just because in the mind of the architect, it was drawn. Many people's talents had to come together to make it a reality, and that's the way the church works. And he calls it a body. Different parts do different things. But when we act together, we are the body of Christ. Listen to this in Ephesians. I like this. Ephesians 4:11, it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Can you imagine that? Building the kingdom of God looks like you and I becoming like Christ. All of our gifts, and you know, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. You and I have the Spirit with measure. We have gifts differing, it says. Look at this in Matthew 25. What does the work of the ministry look like? In some ways, it looks like this. "Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick and in prison or visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" You see, the way that we treat the body of Christ, remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about this in communion, and we had to discern the body of Christ. We had to forgive. It's called the love feast. And so we come together and we do and express what is best for the other person. Listen to this in Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You know, every person has a gifting given to them by God. It's a good work. We need to discover that. We need to do it. And by doing that, then we are becoming the builders of the kingdom. And it's very important that we do our kingdom purpose. So what's the purpose of the resurrection? One, we're family. Number two, we're about our family's business, building the kingdom of God. What an honor it is to be a part of the family of God. But we also have family responsibilities. Think about that for a moment. What did God create me to do? You know, I really love this place. It just brings me joy being out here. I love coming out here. I love hanging out, you know. And that's part of the kingdom of God. You think about it, we got born into his family. We know we have a kingdom purpose, but we're also supposed to enjoy life. John 10:10 says this, the thief, the enemy, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And the neat thing about that word abundantly means too much life. You and I as believers should be doing the kingdom. We're in relationship with God. He's my daddy. Come on. I am doing the most important work in the world, the kingdom work. And we're so full of life that it just overflows inside of us. I mean, it's just overflowing when people get around us. You think about the kingdom of God. And in Galatians 5, it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Everybody, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Yeah, and you know, you're going on and on. Some of you do different translations, but love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But you know that joy part? So many people lose that joy part. God wants us to have fun. And if you're not having fun, you know what? The Bible says that Jesus had joy more than all his fellows, all his contemporaries. And the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know what? Let's have some fun while we're living this kingdom thing, all right? You know what? Learn to laugh, learn to have joy, and enjoy what you're doing. And when you find your kingdom purpose, you know what? You're going to find joy. A lot of people are searching for the meaning of life, but I'm telling you what, when you find your kingdom purpose, in your kingdom job, you're going to find that contentment because you're going to be doing something significant. Let's live this thing with joy. But you know what? What's even more important than that? You can't find this without getting born again. You see, if you've never given your life over to Jesus Christ, he's waiting for you with open arms. He's not trying to make you do a bunch of law and a bunch of things to earn your salvation. No, he did the work of salvation for you. He died on the cross. He paid the price for your sin. And you see, it's as easy as this. The Bible says, if you will call Jesus Christ Lord, you will be saved. That's what it says in Romans. But I want to explain that to you. What does it mean to call Jesus Lord? And what does this mean? It means this. If I want to live in the kingdom of heaven, if I want to be a part of that kingdom has a Lord and his name is Jesus. And so while I'm on this earth, I'm going to choose to live for the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to learn to live kingdom life now. The Bible says, if I'll call Jesus my Lord, Lord of that kingdom, I want to be in heaven. I want to be a part of heaven. I have to then accept the Lord of heaven and his name is Jesus. And the Bible says that when we do that, we go to the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, that beautiful cross, the death of a sinner, and you and I were sinners, and he died the death of a sinner so that we could have the life of a saint. It's as easy as this. Lord Jesus, I accept you. I accept your kingdom. I accept your life. I accept your assignment. I give my life to you. I thank you that you accept me. I thank that you forgive me, that you cleanse me. Come, I give my life to you now. Thank you for receiving me. From this day forward, I'll live for you. It's that simple. It's not so much the words I said, it's what you say in your heart to Jesus. I want you as my Lord. I want to live for you. I'm going to learn about you. I'm going to hear from you. The Bible says that his sheep hear his voice. That may sound strange to you, but as you read the Bible, you'll get to understand that he is called the Good Shepherd, and we are the sheep. We're going to learn to hear his voice, follow him, and live this life of being a child of God, doing the kingdom work, and learning how to have fun doing it. I just Thank you. If you prayed that for the first time, I want you to text to 41411 these words, got saved. So you get your phone out, text 41411 the words, got saved. And what will happen is it'll take you to a link. We're going to ask for your email. We won't sell it, nothing like that. It's safe for you to do. We're going to ask for your email, and we're going to send you 7 days of teachings that'll just help you get started on the right step. We love you. God bless you. May you have the greatest Easter you've ever had. Remember, coronavirus didn't destroy Easter, but Easter will destroy coronavirus. Have a great time. Love you. Be blessed.
You are listening to Resonate Church in Newaygo, Michigan. Find us on Facebook or online at resonline.org. That's resonline.org. I'm Karma Adams, producer.